Yes, everyone, welcome back to another episode of Free Kick, as today we embark on a journey across the Western Bulldogs, and I am joined ably by Jono, who, for once again, for the umpteenth episode in a row, is somehow involved in a Clubs and Days preview. Jono, how keen are you to talk about the Bullies today?
Oh, thank you, Liam. Very, very excited to be back yet again. I'm sure the people are getting annoyed by my voice, but they, you know, that's too bad for them. We're gonna keep hounding them with it.
Well, speaking of hounds, how did the Bulldogs go last year?
Yeah, so the Bulldogs, they finished 12th with 5 wins and the 7 losses, but honestly, one of the better percentages in the league at 126.5. Their defense was very, very solid. I think Tamara Hyde has done a very, very good job in creating that structured defense. And really, it was just the costly start to the season that hurt them the most. They had 5 losses in their first 6 games, and there were some tough games in there. But, you know, there was a game to the Giants, for example, which you can't be losing that if you want to call yourself a finalist. So I think they'd be disappointed with that start and hoping to get off on a much better foot in 2026. There are a few standout performers last season for sure. I think their defenders really stood up. Britt Gutknecht was actually one of their really impressive performance in that back line last season, moving down there in a new role. And Ellie Bennett's and I think Lauren Arends really stepped up in a way that I didn't see coming. I think they were much more impressive than I'd given them credit for.
And the first time we got to see Mua Lalawifi play in a Bulldogs uniform as well, it really was one of the most inexperienced defences before last year. And then after a month or so of gelling, you could really see that all come together.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They did try and put more of a focus on the attacking side than they had in the prior season. I think their ball movement was a little bit improved. You can sort of see pieces of what we might start to see in future years with Emma McDonald, who was one of their draftees, had a very good debut season. But I think, yeah, I think it's something they're definitely going to be focusing on in the year to come. They had not too many changes in the offseason. I think the most noteworthy player leaving the club was actually a self-delisting by number one draft pick Christy Lee Weston Turner, which was quite the scandal, I guess, at the time. But is interesting that I think it clears space on a list for people who want to be at the Dogs.
And I also think it wasn't a massive loss in terms of the type of player that Christy Lee Weston Turner is right now. She had not shown much consistency and didn't have a natural position, and I definitely didn't feel like her not being a consistent member of the side in the back half of last year added or subtracted from what was actually a really successful end to the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I guess looking more at the ins then coming in, Michaela Cann came in from the Pies, who I think one of the issues the Dogs had last year was sort of their tackling pressure. For such a defensive side, they actually didn't have many tackles across the list. So I think Michaela Cann will be a big help in that midfield. And then they brought in some young draftees. So the top draft pick 14, was Mizuki Brothwell, who looks like a very, very talented natural defender. And then Charlie O'Connor and Amaya Wayne coming in as well.
And have you got anything on those other rookies, or are we just sticking with Brothwell as the star among them?
I think Brothwell is the one that I'm expecting to play early. The other two, I mean, interesting players, but I don't expect, based on what I've looked up, that they'll debut early. But hey, hoping to be proven wrong. You know, I'm just some guy on the internet, so who knows?
And I'll make sure that you hear about it if either of them debut early. Well, you talked about interesting players. We do have a fascinating interview for you today. We have Mel chatting with someone who you've already mentioned in Britt Gutknecht. So I'm going to throw to her right now. Enjoy.
Britt Gutknecht, welcome to the Free Kick Podcast. Thanks so much for jumping on with me today. How's it going?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. So we're into week 6, I think, of preseason. How's it been going so far?
It's good. It's gone very quickly, and it feels like we're games are coming very soon. Like now we have the extra practice matches. So yeah, I'm pretty excited to start playing in about a month's time.
Did you get up to much in the off season?
Not a whole lot. I didn't really travel anywhere interstate or overseas or anything like that. So I go down to Rosebud and enjoy the beach down there, like with my family. And we've got friends who've been going down there like for my whole life. So yeah, just kind of chill off season.
Nice. Good to get some time to relax.
Yeah, exactly.
So I thought I'd start off with some questions about your AFLW career to date. So you've officially ticked over the 45 mark game since joining the kennel in the 2019 draft, and you're now coming into your seventh season and approaching that 50 game milestone, which is very exciting. Looking back at your career to date, how have you navigated, like how do you feel like you've navigated your career to the point where you are at now? And how do you like reflect on that journey so far?
Yeah, I think I've had a pretty interesting journey. Obviously had a long-term injury, so I am a bit behind in my games because of that injury. But also in my first few seasons, I was a fringe player and, yeah, in and out of the side. So it's been a difficult journey, but I wouldn't change it because I think it's important that you have to improve and know what to get better at. And, yeah, being like now being consistent in a side, it feels like it's been a lot of hard work to get here, but I'm very grateful for it.
Yeah, and the hard work has paid off because I recently heard that you've signed on for another 2 years.
Yeah, just to the end of 2027. So, yeah, pretty excited about that. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be some good continuity for you to, like, really sink in now and kind of work on.
The first, like, time I've really had a future, like, locked in because, yeah, it's been, I mean, obviously in the first few years it was one-year deals and maybe two-year deals here and there. But, yeah, now it's nice to just have that security.
Yeah, nice. So last season was a massive breakout season for you after your very successful move into the back line and taking away the club's most improved player at the end of it. Were you expecting it to be such a big season for yourself?
I would love to say yes, but no, not really. I think I just went into the season, obviously, with a positional change. Like I just went in without any expectations, and I think that really helped me. And yeah, like I my strength is my skills, so it was more just to try to get the ball in my hand more so I could show off my strength. So, yeah, it was a great season. Yeah, improved a lot. And, yeah, it was. I love going into the back line and really enjoyed it. So,
yeah, and you mentioned getting the ball in your hand for your strengths. That kicking accuracy is very impressive. I can see why the team want to get you kicking that ball along there. Is that something that you worked on a lot in the preseason, or was that just kind of a natural skill that you have?
I think it's pretty natural. I definitely work hard on it and I try to invent all sorts of kicks. Like at training, I'll just be doing silly kicks. But yeah, I think it really helped me to improve my kicking. And then when you're under pressure, it's also good to like have done the practice like in training and yeah, putting yourself under pressure even if there isn't anyone there. So yeah, I've worked hard on it and yeah, it is a bit of a natural thing though. I have always like had a decent kick since juniors.
I can picture you just like deliberately dropping the ball bad so that you have to practice like the under pressure kick to make sure it's still accurate.
I think I still drop the ball bad so I don't have to deliberately do that.
Oh, that's funny. So is this your second season training in the backline group now? Like if was last season back there as well?
Yeah, last preseason was in the backline, so I made that switch between the two seasons. So yeah, now I feel like I'm an experienced player in the backline, but it's still only, yeah, my second preseason there.
Nice. So is there anything you're working on this preseason that's backline specific?
I wouldn't really say it's changed much from last year, just our same group principles. And yeah, I think we had a very strong defense last year. So yeah, we wouldn't look to change it too much, but maybe just trying to turn the ball over higher up the ground.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah. So in terms of like the Bulldogs more broadly, despite finishing 12th last season, it was actually a pretty solid season with some five really good wins and a really strong win percentage on those wins. What's your reflections on how the Bulldogs performed last season overall?
Yeah, I think last year it was a consolidation year, and I think we really want to improve this year and, yeah, grow, have a lot of growth. And, yeah, we'd obviously love to improve our ladder position and be playing finals for this season. And I think if we had a couple more games last year, a couple more rounds, we would have definitely been in finals because, yeah, we seemed to come good in the second half and really found our feet.
Yeah, that's some good momentum to be bringing into this season then.
Yeah, definitely.
And we saw last season coach Tamara Hyatt mentioning that getting the team's ball movement right was a real priority. Is that something that she's been echoing again this preseason?
Yes, definitely. I think we've gone to work on our ball movement, and yeah, obviously we're going to be looking to hit the scoreboard a bit more and improve our consistency with it. So yeah, it's definitely a focus of this preseason.
Yeah, nice. Has she had any other kind of nuggets of wisdom or key focus areas for you guys this preseason?
Well, I think the first half of the preseason we've really been focusing on offense. So that was the ball movement. Yeah. But now we've changed to defense this week. So I think all the defenders are a bit happy about it because we're sick of getting the ball kicked over our heads into the goals.
Nice. Your time to shine.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. The defensive unit at the Bulldogs is so strong, and you showed last season how hard it was to score against you guys. How does it feel being part of such a really strong, well-knit defensive unit? Like, you really fit in there well last season, but, like, how does the core feel?
It feels really good. I'm a bit biased, but I like to say we have the best line group at the club, but I think I'd say that if I was in the forward still. So, yeah, that's probably a bit of bias. But no, I think, yeah, we work together really well, and we're able to communicate well on the field and off the field, like sort out any, you know, like if we had a bit of a heated discussion, we can sort that out easy. So we have the trust in each other to communicate how we need. And yeah, like with our method we use is very defensively sound. And yeah, I think we're a pretty solid group. So it's fun. It's fun down there.
Yeah. You mentioned trust. Like, it must be great to be able to trust in having such strong one-on-one defenders like Elle Bennett and Elizabeth Georgiou-Stathis, who are just so, like, they're, whenever they go up on one-on-one, they're pretty much winning that. And that really, like, must give confidence and ability to, like, kind of free you up to push that attack forward.
Yeah, definitely. Like, even Moore and Loz and Kesh and Granny back there, like, we're all defensively sound, and I trust any of them to win the one-on-one. And yeah, it allows us, especially us who play higher up the ground, to just have the trust and go forward if we need to, and know that the defenders behind us are going to be covering us.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of, like, a lot of those players you just mentioned as well, there's a real mix in terms of the age and experience. I mean, you've got some of the players like Elle Bennett and Lauren Ahrens who are probably at the veteran end of their career. And then you've got some young developing players like Cleo Butterfant and Kaylee Kimber, who had really strong seasons last year. How have you found the age gap kind of working to your advantage in terms of, like, knowledge transition?
Yeah, I think it's important that you have a wide range of people. And like the older girls, I'm going to call them, they're not old, just older. They bring a lot of experience and knowledge, and I think that's important, especially in close games and everything like that. But then the young ones bring the energy and the drive, and they've obviously got knowledge that the older ones and middle ones like me don't have. So yeah, it really balances out the group, and I think, yeah, it's important to have that mix.
Yeah, and it feels really good to have that mix now, so that it kind of builds continuity into such a strong back line, so you don't have this period of, like, full youth and, like, kind of starting again. So hopefully it can, like, set the Bulldogs up for a really strong back line in a few seasons to come as well.
Yeah, exactly. We've got Ms. Mizuki Brothwell and Maya Wayne coming into the back line at times as well. So yeah, we're looking pretty young, but also have the experience there as well.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Mizuki Brothwell, a new addition over from the National Draft, adds some defensive depth and looks like she's got quite impressive intercepting skills. How's she been looking at training so far?
Yeah, she's been looking good. It's all of our draftees have come in, and they just, like, the last few years, they just look great because they've been playing footy their whole lives. So, yes, it's very impressive to see, and I think she'll fit in nicely into our back line.
Do you reckon we'll see her on the ground much this season?
I'm not sure. It's so hard to tell this early in preseason, but yes, I think she's, yeah, if she's ready, she'll be out there.
Yep, sounds good. So another highlight for the Bulldogs last season was your midfield core at the Coalface. Very impressive. We saw Isabel Pritchard leading the Dogs on contested and uncontested possessions and second in the league overall, which is just absolutely huge. Second in the league for clearances. She really took her game to another level last season. How excited is the club about what Izzy can bring this season?
Yeah, we're obviously super excited. I think she's just a natural ball winner, and obviously the contested side of her game is so strong as well. And I think she's such an addition to our midfield, and everyone in there works together so well. Like, you've got Iz who can play on the outside and the inside, and then you've got also Ellie Blackburn and Fitzy. Yeah. Like, they're all such strong players, and I think they all complement each other so well. So, yeah, we're excited to see what she can do this year, and hopefully, yeah, maybe maybe play finals with her. That'd be awesome. Oh, so yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned Fitzy. Jess Fitzgerald was our interviewee last season, and she's had an interesting couple of years where she was slated for that halfback role and then with Ellie Blackburn's injury stayed in the midfield. And yep. Is that somewhere that we're likely to see her again? Seems quite settled after such a great season last year.
Yeah, she is pretty settled in the midfield, but I kind of stole the quarterback position from her in the end, the halfback role. So, I think it would be good to, she might play a bit of both. So have her in the mid mainly, but then if she needs a chop out, come play on the halfback. So yeah, she could play anywhere. She's a great player.
Yeah, she really is. And then Ellie Blackburn, another great player. I mean, taking after her year of injury, coming back and claiming best and fairest again, sixth in a row, like that's, that's phenomenal.
Yeah, she's incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. And then joining that kind of elite combo, we've got Michaela Cann coming over, who brings with her some really strong tackling skills. How's she settling in so far?
Yeah, she's her nickname's the Bull, so she loves that. But yeah, it really suits her because she's such a contested beast, and I think she'll really add a lot to the group, and she's incredibly fit. So yeah, we'll always have her at the contest.
Yep. When I think of tackles and Bulldogs, I like to think of Lane Grigg with her sideways tackle. I just find her so entertaining to watch on the TV. Yep. Like you can't even see her in the screen, and then she just comes in horizontally, like throwing herself across. Oh,
yeah.
Is she, have you been impressed. Tackled by her much at preseason or training?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, she's a half forward and I'm the half back. So I do tend to get tackled, but hopefully I've got rid of the ball before she gets there.
Yeah, nice. Is it as surprising actually in reality as it looks on TV where it just comes out of nowhere?
Yeah, I think so, because she's always coming from out of your vision. Like it's never like she's coming forward to you. So yeah, it just takes you by surprise and she's so quick.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so then in the ruck, we've got one of my favourite players at Bulldogs, Alice Edmonds. She just absolutely continues to dominate in that position. And to see her, I mean, overall hitouts were down last season with the rule changes, but still leading the league for hitouts. What an absolute gun.
Yeah, that's just my question. I agree.
How great is she?
She's an absolute gun. I think she is one of the most underrated players in the competition because she adds so much to our team. And she just dominates in the ruck most weeks, and even her intercepting ability around the ground is just incredible. So yeah, I think she is very, very underrated. And I think internally we all think that.
Good to hear she's not underrated within the club.
Yeah, she's very highly valued at our club.
Of course. And then also drafted Amaya Wayne in the preseason draft.
We call her Bruce Wayne or Shania Twain or Mayo. So.
Okay, some great nicknames there.
Yeah.
She's been drafted, I believe, as a ruck, and she's got some pretty impressive leap to her. Is she someone we might see chopping through there with Alice this season?
Yeah, I definitely think we could see her in the ruck, but she's also been training in the back line, so I think maybe as an intercepting back as well. But yeah, she could probably play anywhere as that key player.
Yeah, some good hide on her.
Yeah.
In the forward line then, there's just excitement on every line at the Bulldogs. Emma McDonald coming in last season, only 20 years old, and got an amazing 11-goal debut season and took out leading goal kicker. That was absolutely phenomenal to see, and she's such a great target inside 50. How did Emma react to that kind of like massive achievement? Is she feeling pressure on herself this preseason, or is she just kind of going in and seeing what the next season brings for her?
I don't think she – I personally don't know, but I don't think she'd be feeling the pressure because we have such great players around her as well, and she's always looking to improve, and I think she's improved a lot since last season. Oh. So, yeah, it's exciting to see, and she's got a great set of hands on her, and even her handballing ability, like for such a tall player, is incredible. So, yeah, I think she's done the work, and I hope she doesn't feel the pressure.
Yeah, that's good. Great to hear, like, continuing to develop as well. There were so many great young players breaking out last season at the Bulldogs. So, looking forward to seeing what Bulldogs have got to put up this season.
Yeah, definitely. I think the wants for all of us to learn and grow is incredible at the Dogs, and yeah, hopefully it translates onto the field.
Yeah, you mentioned at the start kind of kicking more goals being a bit of a focus for this season. How is there kind of anyone in the midfield group that you've seen making a real big impact in terms of their preseason or like goal lifting coming into this current season?
Well, it's a bit hard to single out any players. I think we've all come back just like wanting to learn, wanting to get better. So the whole midfield group is just like taking it to the next level. And we lost our line coach Toby McLean, but we've brought in someone else who was already at the club, Pete. And yeah, I think like the midfield's just going to take it to the next level this year.
Awesome, that is good to hear. And I know you just said that it's hard to single out one player, but the final question we ask all of our interviewees is to pick a player who you reckon is going to have a breakout season this year, just kind of take it to the next level based on what you've seen so far at preseason. So last year, Jess Fitzgerald mentioned you as her player pick. Yep. So looking forward to passing that baton forward. Who do you reckon is the 2026 breakout player at the Bulldogs?
Wow, that is a really, really tough question. I don't want to be biased, but I do like my backline players, and I think Azuki could definitely take the competition by storm with her interceptability down there. So hopefully we get to see her don the red, white and blue pretty soon.
That'd be great. Looking forward to it. That's an exciting pick. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Britt.
Thank you for having me.
That was a great chat from Mel. I want to lead with something that I think it was as a free kick first, which was we got embargoed information before that interview started. We were interviewing Britt on the day that her contract extension until 2028, 2029 was going to be announced. And we got told by email, as this is embargoed, you need to make sure it gets released after it is actually announced officially. So not something that we talked about in the podcast, but a podcast first nonetheless. That aside, Jono, is there any tidbit that you took away that really kind of piqued your interest from that one?
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely love that we're making it as a podcast. That's what it sounds like to me. We're getting embargoed information. Fantastic. I think the key thing that I picked away was that I think they are looking at their ball movement, and that's going to be the big focus. So I think how they transition the ball probably on the outside and get a little bit cleaner ball movement. That to me is the interesting part that I'm taking away from that. I mean, what were you thinking?
Exactly the same thing. I own Britt Goodnecht in a keeper league. I owned her during the fantasy season last year, and my overwhelming feeling was like, this is the makings of a really great team. I just think that switching the ball is their biggest weakness and their inability to find easy switches across the ground. A greater focus on ball movement post-stoppage will be such a boon to that team. They now have, we saw Emma McDonald explode right at the back end of the year after also a really great preseason game. I think that those two things combined are a massive potential boon for the Western Bulldogs. So to hear a greater focus on ball movement, it was absolute music to my ears.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
Well, launch into your top player, who you got?
Yeah, so first player that I've got on the list is a young player, a lot of talent coming through the Dogs at the moment. It's Sarah Pousty, who is coming into her second year as an AFLW player. And yeah, look, last year I think she had sort of an opportunity to run through that midfield, 45% CBAs, ran a really strong time trial this season, is clearly taking on you know, to the team, to the structure. I've been looking, I suppose, at other breakouts that we've seen across the past few years, because I don't think we're only 11 seasons into the league. A lot of the established guns of the league have been there for such a long time. And there's only so many that I suppose that were drafted, you know, into the league. So I've been looking at when did they have their big breakout seasons where they jumped 20 plus points in average. And I've just pulled out a few here that it looks like the second year is often when they make these big jumps. So you look at Charlie Rowbottom, absolute star of the competition, averages, you know, 100 plus nearly every season now. She went from 67 in her first year to 89.3 in her second. Zali Goldsworthy went from 41 in her first to 90.7 in her second. Ella Roberts, 57 to 83. Georgie Prasparkas from 59 to 89. Sophia Hurley from 43 to 72. And Jess Wrench, it's still 20 points, 24 to 46. I appreciate not all of them are as big a jump, but these are the midfielders that are getting, you know, bulk minutes that have come through the draft. And all of these have happened in their second year. There's a couple others like Montana Ham, Jazz Fleming and Sarah Goodwin who came through a little bit later in their fourth, third and fourth years respectively is when they had their 20-point jump. But most of the time it's happening in the second year. So that's what really has me interested in a player like Sarah Pousty.
What do you think, because I think that the main kind of pull through I had from that is a lot of those higher upper echelon players were draft picks from maybe 3 or 4 years ago who got that jump, getting full midfield time in a more tackle dominant era of AFLW footy. Is Sarah Pousty going to be that in and under player, that tackler who can build out a 70 average off contested possessions and tackles, and then it's the transition stuff, which is the sprinkle, which is the sparkle, which is the thing that makes them a premium?
Yeah, yeah. And that is absolutely a challenge. I'm not sure she's going to come out and just be a 90 averaging player straight away, but I think if she was to go 75 to 80 in her second season, that would make her very, very relevant. She already in her first season leads the Western Bulldogs in tackles. And when I look at a lot of the players around her, I think they really shine in more of an outside capacity. So you look at Izzy Pritchard is an absolute gun on the outside. I think Ellie Blackburn can do whatever she wants. I know these players can also go on the inside, but I feel like Sarah Pousty going on the inside and finding her defensive pressure around the stoppages really adds to that mix. I think she's, in my mind, she's already ahead of Dee Berry, Dom Carruthers, plenty of those players that have been rotating through that midfield in the past. So I think she's going to get a really good look at it this season. And the question is, can she jump up high enough with that average to be relevant for us?
I think it's going to come down to the quality of her disposals, because I think she's shown the tackling capability, had 9 against Richmond in her second game, 7 and another 7 against Collingwood and Port Adelaide in the middle of the year, and then second last game of the year against the Cats had 13. So clearly a capable tackler. Mm. I'd say it's the quality of her disposal that will be the big determinant of her time in the midfield, because I certainly felt like that at points last year it was in the second halves of games. It was a fitness concern, and lower time on ground led to some wayward kicks and hand passes that makes it difficult to give her full midfield time. But I'm 100% with you on this being a player who has the base profile that could become the next. I think Prisparkas Goldsworthy Robottom is a tough echelon to break
I'm
into.
I'm picking the cream of the crop here for sure. Yeah.
you really have gone with it. But if it was a Sophia Hurley type breakout, I don't think that they're similar players, but a 70 average wouldn't be wholly unexpected. It would also make her up there with the highest averaging Western Bulldogs, though, which kind of brings us on to the next player to talk about, which is another mid. Or anyone kind of coming across who might have been a middling averaging player at another club comes to the Western Bulldogs and immediately jumps into the upper echelons for them.
Absolutely. Their ball movement on the outside is I think, holding them back a little bit. And so I suppose the way that they transition the footy is going to be interesting, because that's going to determine if these players are going to be able to jump up. But look, second player on the list, I have Michaela Cann, who's come across from the Pies. And to be honest, I kind of have this as an either-or with Sarah Pousty. Because if Sarah Pousty doesn't get the midfield time, Michaela Cann is going to immediately step up and take that. Her tackling pressure is phenomenal, and she was scoring pretty well for the Pies even after being kicked out of that midfield group. So last season, even though Bree Davey and Matea Breed were injured, she only had 4 games with more than 50% CBAs across the whole season. So and it's not as if the rest of the squad was like healthy the whole time. We saw players like Ash Centra go out with games and things like that. So I think definitely on the outside there, still managed to average the 65 points. I think if she can get a full-time midfield role again, then I think her personal best season was a 74 back in 2023. I think she could very much match that.
I think that sounds very reasonable, and talked about her being a centre bounce type of player, an elite, and you know, talked about her endurance and her, you know, her pressure capabilities. All sounds extremely reasonable to me. I think it is going to be probably a bit of either or. Now, there's also another world where Ellie Blackburn is pushed out of the midfield, pushed back into the forward line as she was for the first half of the year, gives some more room for CBA. So probably one of those midfield groups that we are going to be watching most. Yeah. By the time we get preseason games.
Yeah, there was also Georgia Stathis, who last season was tagging early in the year. And then it, as far as I can tell, whilst she was shutting down some of the best players, they were still losing games. So the idea that they clearly stopped that after a run of weeks, and I think there's going to be even more opportunity in there.
Yeah, I think that is a very good call. Let's move on to number three. Who you got?
So number three was that number 14 draft pick that the Bulldogs had, Mizuki Brothwell, who is an extremely talented intercepting defender. She is quite tall, can take a mark, but her main skill is her ability to run and carry the ball. I think if you're talking about reimagining how you transition that ball out of defense, I think Mizuki is the sort of player that you would want the ball in the hands of. Is incredibly athletic, newish to footy, which I think is quite exciting. So she only actually started playing footy in 2023, which is very, very recently, but has clearly just taken to the game. So took to it quick enough that she ended up being the All-Australian halfback for the Marsh AFLW National Championships game. So clearly very highly rated already. And in the Coates Talent League, she averaged the 65 fantasy points from just shy of 17 disposals, 2.6 marks, and 3.8 tackles per game.
That's a very solid stat line. And I think an All-Australian spot across halfback is a great sign, because I think the concern that I have when I hear, you know, high draft pick, come slightly later to sport, playing off halfback, I'm thinking Molly O'Hare and how she kind of struggled to be a really great rookie scorer for us last year. Lots of 30s, 40s and 50s. A bit more experience in that role was a genuine benefit for us. So I'm going to have all eyes on Brothwell, particularly if she's got defensive status. I think that could be the type of player that we need.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like these defender rookies, they range greatly. Sometimes you have a zippy fish, sometimes you don't. So you got to keep an eye on them in the preseason.
Exactly. Well, let's go on to the next one. Who you got at four?
So next player is Alice Edmonds, who is such an interesting player, I think, given the change in the ruck rules this preseason. So what we've seen, I suppose, in the men's in the past season is we're seeing the physical rucks generally struggling a little bit more, and the tall athletic rucks shining greatly. Edmonds is 189 centimeters tall, which currently plays her as the equal tallest player in the AFLW. I think that is correct. There's a couple players that she matches with. There's a couple former players who were over the 190 mark. And I think Ali Morfitt, depending on where you look, is either 190 or 188 centimeters, which is really annoying for my stats purposes here.
I think it's Talia Gillard at 190.
190. All right. So the
close
second
to the tallest
close
player
to
in the
tallest in the game. I have to think that she's going to be able to impact at center bounce even greater. She's very, very athletic. The real question that I have is, which Alice Edmonds are we getting? Because I think her best is fantastic. She's an 80-plus averaging ruck. And I think we saw it to start last season. She was incredibly consistent across the first few rounds. And I think if we just take the first, say, seven games, I think she was averaging a solid 80.1. And that was one very, very poor game against the Lions, away from, you know, basically scoring above 80 every single week. So a very, very strong performance. But it just came to that finish of the year where the scores really dropped away, and she actually finished the year with three scores in the 50s.
Oof.
And that's the real concerning factor, because the time on ground was still fairly high. The hitouts were still relatively even to what she was doing before. Just the impact around the ball, the tackling pressure just kind of dropped away.
And unfortunately, that's coincided with winning football for the Western Bulldogs. So it's going to be tough to tell. And I think it'd be remiss of us not to mention that one of the most highly rated rucks going into last year's season, who hadn't played a game yet, was Keely Hardingham, who the Western Bulldogs had taken in the draft the year prior as the best ruck in the VFLW. She only played one game. Didn't have very high time on ground, didn't attend many ruck contests. But it's going to be a big watch if Alice Edmonds is able to hold up to the new ruck rules that predominantly advantage those who leap high versus those that look to lean and to control with strength and length. So I'm very interested to see with what kind of structure they go with the rucks. But I think at this point we'd be almost negligent to not talk about Edmonds as a potential top five averaging ruck, given the consistency with which he's done it for three or four seasons now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a world where she's 10 points underpriced at the least. And I think there's another world where she starts dropping down her time on ground to the 70s, the 60s even. So it's a real range of outcomes here for her.
I'm going to be fascinated. Is she in that underpriced or that, you know, like tier two ruck premium, or is she a Lauren Pierce type of high 50s, low 60s type scorer? I think that's going to be something we need to get a look at in the preseason. All right, you talk consistently. Your fifth player is the epitome of inconsistent.
Yes, it absolutely is. But hey, it wouldn't be a preseason without the Free Kick podcast giving an in-depth review of what Georgia Stathis can score at the Western Bulldogs. So last season we saw almost the complete flip of what we saw the previous 2024 season, where in 2024 it was poor scores early, incredible scores late. In this season, she started on fire. She had a 73 average across the first five games on the back of some tackling power and also a new tagging role on some of the opposition's best midfielders. But with a bunch of losses in the same time frame, she was eventually pushed out of that mix, and her next three games, she went 49, 39, and 30 off pretty full-length games, which really killed a lot of coaches out there. And then unfortunately in round eight against Port Adelaide, she injured her right MCL and with that knee injury was out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, look, it's going to be fascinating to see if Giorgio is playing across halfback again this year, where I just don't think that she's a viable option to pick, or if she's back in the midfield. She's such a high tackling player. And you had talked about the fact that one of the deficiencies for across the season for the Western Bulldogs was that tackling. I'm going to be fascinated. And I think another question to ask is, does she have defender status? At this stage, at time of recording, we aren't certain if she'll be defender or midfield. At midfield, it's going to be very tough to pick as defender. It's one we'll keep our eye on.
Yeah, yeah. I do think she has scored pretty well as a defender in the past, and then she's scored pretty well as a midfielder. It's just wherever she transitions to, that's where the struggle is. So I'm not confident I'm going to be starting her this season, but I'm certain that she will be relevant at some point. And I'll be ready to pull the trigger and jump on board when she does.
It would not be a free kick season if you weren't keen about bringing in Elizabeth Georgiou-Stathis at some point. Well, I'm going to talk about a player that I reckon I've talked about every season for 4 years, and that's Elizabeth Georgiou-Stathis as my host special, averaging 74.7. She is the highest averaging Western Bulldog. And you talked about, oh, you know, they've got a lot of outside players. Sarah Pousey's the inside player. I personally reckon that Isabel Pritchard has the perfect blend of inside and outside game and is a potential premium.
I'm glad you came around there, because we were so stuck on Georgiou-Stathis that's who I thought you were talking about yet again. That's who you led with.
funnily enough, it's not. It's Izzy Pritchard.
It's Izzy Pritchard. This is great.
She has that inside and outside game. She has a massive left foot. She can tackle more than capably. And has a 100-plus ceiling. We've seen it now at least once in each of the last 3 years, if not twice. She had an average of 82.5 in the final month of games last season, which kind of coincides with their turnaround in form. I'm not going to start with her. It's just a name that I'm going to be watched. And in the same way that we continue to watch someone like Ellie McKenzie and go, when is that uber-premium breakout going to happen? I think Izzy Pritchard is riding in those coattails and is going to be someone that we continue to talk about. It would be better if it happened all in one season and she goes from this 70 player to a 90s averaging option. It could also be a more incremental Gabby Newton style 10 to 15 points per season breakout, but that's the type of area I think that Izzy Pritchard could sit in, particularly if Ellie Blackburn isn't someone who's going to spend as much time in the midfield. I really like the idea of Pritchard being at least 80 plus this year.
Yeah. I don't really see a world very, at least I don't see it very easily, where Izzy Pritchard is not the highest averaging fantasy player at the Dogs. So if they do get that transition game going and you can start to see the fantasy scores build up across the side, Pritchard's going to be at the forefront of that. So I very much like this as a host special.
It certainly pained me to not at least pick Britt Gutknecht, who I also think is such an elite kick and such an elite user. She would be a 70-plus averaging defender. Kind of, I would put her in the realms of scoring of someone like Serene Watson with her ability to hit targets and be such a great reader of the play off the back of stoppage. The problem is that there's just no switching, at least not what we've seen under Tam Hyatt so far. There's just not enough work to find easy marks across the ground in transition. If that does change, I think Gutknecht could also be 65-plus minimum, if not a 70 averaging defender.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think if the switching happens, you'd want Gutknecht, you'd want Pritchard, you'd want Wilcox. Yeah, they'd all have massive rises.
Oh, of course, Riley Wilcox. How could we? That's another classic Jono pick. Classic Jono pick. I reckon you somehow always end up on Western Bulldogs episodes. I reckon Riley Wilcox always gets a mention. Well,
You got to have your favourites.
you absolutely do. Well, Jono, it's been a favourite recording this one with you. Hopefully the people have enjoyed. Get around the podcast wherever you do listen. Make sure you're checking in on our Instagram, on our Substack, on our Twitter, wherever you might be looking at the podcast for more information, to get a read of the article, to get a look at our best 21s. You will find a bulk of information ahead of this AFLW season. And until you hear us next time when we talk about the Fremantle Dockers, enjoy.
Bye.